It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
So tell me, Steve, with the plans to have 30,000 fans at Portimao scrapped because of the rising COVID cases, do you think we're even going to get the final three rounds of MotoGP?
I think we're going to get two.
You think we're going to get two Valencia rounds?
Yeah, that's my view. I think with the restrictions Portugal are putting in place, I think it's going to be touch and go. But we're so close to Valencia, I think... Yeah, I think Valencia will be fine, but I think it's going to be Portimao is going to be questionable. But who knows?
Yeah, the way it's so up in the air, isn't it?
Yeah, we say that we could be looking at a Portimao thriller, and everyone will be happy as hell. But let's wait and see. I'm not going to count the eggs before they're in the cake. So we'll see.
That's it. We will see. But let's dive into the show. So I'm Tim, he's Steve, and this is For the Love of MotoGP. So obviously we just briefly chatted about Portimao and whether we think that's going to go ahead. I really hope it does. I really hope it does. It looks stunning. It was amazing to see Formula One cars around there. I've watched some clips of odd superbikes around there. And, I just want to see the MotoGP around there now. But I don't know. I'm a bit sceptical as to whether we're going to get all of these Valencia rounds. I know, I feel like if we get one Valencia round, I imagine we'll get two. Because all they're going to do is they're just going to say, everyone, just stay here. You don't go anywhere. You're all there already. So just do it twice.
Yeah, I think as long as all the teams can get there safely and get, as long as we don't get a positive COVID test when they arrive, we'll be fine. I'm sure we'll be fine. And like you say, everyone will arrive and he will be basically restricted like they have been already.
Yeah.
But
it'll be more so because Spain's lockdowns are getting pretty serious now and all their curfews are getting pretty serious.
Yeah. So I would imagine teams, mechanics, whatever will be... Track, hotel, that's it.
Yeah.
Riders, track, you stay in your motorhomes.
Yeah, that's it, exactly.
And let's just, fingers crossed, touch wood, we just do not get a positive test because that will be the killer.
Yeah, I think it would be. If there was an outbreak actually within the paddock, it would cause a lot of problems, I think.
Yeah, yeah, that's been the risk for a while. Luckily, there's only been one or two isolated cases. But I think with, like you say, the way Spain's restrictions go, and if they get wind that there's something going on at a sporting event, I think they'll just bin it.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. And obviously this has brought more to the fore for us being in the UK just because of the English lockdown that starts Thursday. So
tomorrow.
The day this is released.
Yes. So, yes, it's Tuesday. I'm getting all confused on what day it is.
Yes, yeah. We've got American elections today. We've got lockdowns on Thursday. So tomorrow's like this nice zone where we're not really sure who's won the American election and we're still allowed to go out.
Yeah, for a day. So everyone's going to go out and absolutely party the hell out of it tomorrow.
No doubt. I think everyone did that the weekend, didn't they?
Oh, it was mad down here. Fireworks, people partying.
Was it really?
Yeah, our little, because we live in a cul-de-sac. It's typical suburbia, as Tim knows. All night long, fireworks, bang, 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 bang.
That's amazing.
3, 4 in the morning.
Wow.
I think everyone's just had a bit of a blowout. I really hope everyone was safe. I didn't hear of any trouble. where there's like your usual Facebook community groups. There was nothing put on there, just people moaning about, you know, animals getting scared at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
So fingers crossed, everyone was just having a socially distanced.
They definitely weren't. There's no way.
judging by some of the people I've seen walking down the road, no one's paying any attention.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And that's why we're going to lockdown again. But let's get off that. Let's talk about that. MotoGP. And let's pretend for this conversation that there's going to be three rounds, and we know that for definite.
There definitely will. I'm sure of it. Maybe.
So we've got six riders right now that seem to be within a shot of winning the title.
Yes.
We've got Johan Mir sitting at the top of the table on 137 points. We've got Quartararo behind him, 14 points behind, in fact, on 123 points. Only 5 points further back is Maverick Vinales. 6 points back from Vinales is Morbidelli. Dovi is on 109 and Alex Rins on 105.
Right.
So 75 points up for grabs. Realistically, we could list all the way back down to Zarco in 14th, who's still got a mathematical chance of winning this. But I think those six we've just been through are the ones that have got the chance.
Yeah, unless something extraordinary happens and we see some serious mixed up results, I can't see anyone but these six in with a shout.
Yeah, that's it, exactly. Yeah, I don't know. I really can't. Who do you think of these six is going to take it? Because I just, the more I look at their names, and the more I went through and I wrote down earlier, I'm like, right, what does each person need to do to secure the title here? And the more I think about it, the more I'm like, I ain't got a fucking clue, man. This is the hardest season to predict I've ever watched of MotoGP.
Yeah, my head says Mir just for his form, current form. But then I'm thinking he is still fairly green in MotoGP. But then you look at like Quartararo's results and he's been so up and down.
This is the problem, isn't it?
Yeah. Then we come to Mav and we know he blows so hot and cold that it's like polar opposites.
Yeah.
And, you know, then we come down to Morbidelli, who is starting to come strong, and you start to look at him and you think, well, he looks good.
Well, he's looked like the best Yamaha in the last few races.
Yeah. But you're just thinking, has he just got that last bit to pull off something amazing?
Yeah.
And then he's X amount of points back, and he needs almost a little bit of luck. He needs Mir, Vinales and Quartararo to have an off day for three rounds.
Yeah, well, he's 25 points back, so, you know, he'd have to win pretty much at least two of the three to be within a chance of getting there, and he'd need Mir and the others to, you know, have a bad day.
Yeah, and then we drop a bit further down, and we look to Dovi, and although mathematically in the hunt, I can't see it happening.
Nah, Dovi's sort of out for me, unless we get rain at Valencia, and then it just mixes everything up. But yeah, unless the weather goes bad, I can't see Dovi doing this now.
No. And then we drop down to like Rins, and you think, yes, he's on form at the minute. But again, he's so far back.
32 points in three rounds.
That's a lot. The stars are really going to have to align for him. And with Mir equally being on a good run of form, I can't see it happening. You know, even if Rins wins the next three rounds, Mir's form says he'll be on the podium. And that's just
all Mir's got to do. All Mir needs to do at this point is do exactly what he's been doing. He doesn't need to go out and win a race. No. He just needs to keep standing on the box. If he can just stand on the podium, then he's away.
Three third places, and he has a record. He has an accolade that no other MotoGP rider has ever had.
Yeah, exactly. And that, I loved the idea. At the beginning of the year, when we were kind of talking about, well, not even the beginning of the year, halfway through the year, and we were discussing this, and we were like, Mir, you know, oh, can you imagine if Mir wins the title without winning a race? How weird would that be? And it was like a throwaway thing. But the closer it's getting, the more it's like, whoa, shit, this really could happen. Mir could go and win this title without winning a race. And perfectly epitomizes this year for me.
Absolutely.
To be like, the guy who didn't win a race, he just was strong, consistent, still in the box. I mean, he's only stood on the podium six times, I think. So, I kind of have it in my head that he's been on the podium every single race, but that's not the case at all. He's been on the podium for like half of them.
Yeah.
And he's the most consistent. And it's just bonkers that that can be the case. So I hope he goes out and does it. I really hope. If he wins the title, I really want him to do it without winning a race. There's plenty of time for him to win a race in his career. He's early 20s. Like, he's got another 10, 15 years ahead of him if he wants it.
Completely on board with you. I just want him to win it now, but I want him to get that trump card of winning it without winning a race. Like you say, there's tons of time, years left for him to win a race.
Yeah.
What would you rather, win one MotoGP race or one MotoGP title?
That's the thing. And the way I kind of see it as well is like, there's plenty of people who have won titles. I say plenty. There's a fair amount of guys who have won titles in MotoGP. Mm. But I don't know how many. Like, Marc Marquez, won 12 races last year to get to that title. There was one year he won 10 races.
Yep.
Apart from that, I don't know how many races people have won every year to get to their title. But if Mir doesn't win a race, everyone will remember Johan Mir in 2020 got the title without winning a race. It's just a special accolade, I think, and people will remember it going forward. Like, for how many years has the premier class racing been a thing? 80 years or something?
Something along that line, yeah, a long time.
And it's never been done, and the chances are it will never be done again.
No, we'd never. I highly doubt we'd ever see it in our lifetimes again if he did it this year.
No, I'm sure we wouldn't. I'm sure we would never. I'm almost certain we will never see a year like this again anyway.
No, this is such a strange year. But yeah, right now, I want him to go out and just be himself, Mr. Consistent. Don't crash. Don't do anything brash. Stay on the bike and just bring it home.
Yeah.
He's got the perfect form. As long as he doesn't let this pressure get to his head, I think he'll be fine. I think he'll be absolutely fine.
And I think he's going to be absolutely fine going through the two Valencia rounds. I don't think any of the pressure is going to get there.
No.
It will be interesting to see if he's leading the title or not leading the title, what happens if and when we get to Portimao, and then to see what the pressure's like. And it'll be like it for all these guys, because and no matter what happens, if he's still in a title fight at Portimao, he's going to be in a title fight, chances are, to be fair, outside of Dovi, with someone who's never been in a real title fight in the final race of MotoGP before.
Exactly. Neutral playing field. Neutral track. Clean slate. Let's just pray to God we get there. It will be something amazing.
Oh, it's going to be great. But the guys who can stand in his way and prevent him from being this mad champion. Quartararo. He needs to go out all guns blazing in these two Valencia rounds.
He just needs to come out. He needs to be a Usain Bolt out of the blocks.
Yeah, completely. Because we've seen, like you've said, he's either on or off. He's only stood on the podium three times this year, and they were his three race wins.
Yes.
Other than that, he's scored 10th places. He's finished 18th. Like, he's scored some really lowly positions. And he's like
been all over the place.
Yeah, and looking at it now, it's something like 60% of his points have come from those three wins.
Yeah. What do you have? Two firsts on the bounce, a seventh, an eighth, a 13th, DNF, fourth, first, ninth, 18th and eighth.
Yeah, exactly. So that's all over the show. So we know that Quartararo, the only way, realistically, he's going to come out and challenge Mir is to come out and win these next two Valencia rounds.
Yeah.
If he can do that, then he puts himself in a great spot and he puts the pressure on Mir.
Exactly. He just needs to come out push. He needs to do a Marquez. Come out and FP1 and just blaze it and just keep that going. If he could do that, find his settings, find his form, he'll be okay. Because we know he can race. We know he's quick. We know the bike's good. Just needs to keep a level head and go.
Yeah. We know the Yamaha works really well around Valencia.
It does.
And we know that from last year, Quartararo scored a second in Valencia. Like, so we know he goes well around Valencia.
Yes. So that stands in his favour.
It really does. The only downside is we know the Suzuki is likely to go very well around Valencia in the hands of Deer and Rins. So it's really teeing up, because I imagine with Portimao as well, it's such an undulating, such a like a lot of corners. I imagine it's going to be the Suzukis and the Yamahas that are going to work well there too.
Yes, I don't think the Ducatis are going to get on well.
No, not that the Ducatis have got on well anywhere this year. Really.
No, they haven't. Even their own tracks, which they sort of, well, not their own tracks, but the tracks that they consistently score good results at, they just haven't really performed this year.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
But yeah, it's going to be fun because, like we say, the Suzuki, the Yamaha are teed up for three powerful rounds, I think.
Yeah. I think it's a four-way battle for the title. You can't obviously mathematically count out the other two, but I just think it's a four-way dogfight.
I don't know. I can't forget about Rins as well. I think it's the five of them.
I've sort of discounted Rins just because of the number of points back.
Yeah, the thing is, he could do it. And the others, if Rins can win two races, say Morbidelli comes second in those two races, that's enough of a gap for them both to claw back in on everyone else.
This is true. This is where it just becomes like interesting.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I tried like doing a bit of a prediction graph where you could see where the points would go to, and it was just a mess.
Yeah.
It was a real overlaid mess of just squiggles. And I got a bit of a headache looking at it, if I'm honest.
That's fair.
Yeah, I was just like, this is blowing my mind. I'm going to give up now. The maths of it are just insane. When you start looking at results, who's got to finish where.
You look at all the potential outcomes, then I would just give up. I don't even know how I'd start doing that, which is why I haven't bothered.
No, I thought I'd give it a bash just because I was a bit bored one night. And I came to the conclusion I would not want to be any kind of analyst in MotoGP at the minute.
Certainly not. You wouldn't want to be a bookie right now, would you, trying to work it out?
Christ. I wouldn't want to be anyone that's got to sit there and just come up with any kind of predictions for this year, you know? Everyone's sitting back and saying the same thing about like us, just go, fuck knows, mate.
Yeah, that's the great thing, isn't it? Like, just no one's got a clue what's going to happen at all.
No.
So we've kind of spoken, we know Mir needs to go out and just do what he's doing.
Yeah.
To carry on like this. We know Quartararo, well, in my opinion at least, I think you agreed, needs to go out all guns blazing. He needs to go out and fire it away and, you know, score two wins in Valencia and make sure he smokes Mir.
Yes.
It starts to get more complicated when we talk about the others, doesn't it? Vinales, like, he really needs to, again, he needs to go out and win. He needs to go out, do the double at Valencia. He needs to score pole position, not fuck it up on the first lap.
Needs to keep that traction control on.
Yeah, exactly. Or and launch he needs control, to rather. Go. Last year, he scored a sixth place in Valencia.
Not good enough.
Not good enough at all. Outside of Morbidelli, in fact, he was the slowest of our top six currently last year, which doesn't set him in a good stead. And we know that Vinales is a bit mentally fragile. He's going to be looking at this thinking, oh, you know, maybe I can do this. And then he's going to, I don't fucking know, he's going to stub his toe or something, and then that's going to put him off the entire weekend, and then it's game over.
I honestly think the one scenario I really think is going to come off is we are going to see Vinales put it on pole.
Oh, I can see him putting it on pole. There's no doubt in my mind that he's more than capable of getting it on pole. I don't think he's going to win a race, though, this year now. Not another race.
I think we're going to see him try too hard. I think we're just going to see a massive push from the start. Very Lorenzo-esque, like we've seen before. Get to the front, blaze it. I can see someone like Morbidelli, not Morbidelli, Mir or Rins starting to close him down towards the end of the race. And then we're going to see a mistake.
I can't even see that. I think it would be the other way. I think really? He would get a terrible launch because he's Maverick Vinales. I think he would then, as the second half of the race comes in, start picking the pace up again. And once he realizes he's closing in on the front guys, then he crashes.
Yeah, see, both scenarios could quite easily happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's all down to him and just whatever the hell he wants to do and how he wants to play it. I just think his lows and bad luck are just so low and bad that I can't see it happening.
Yeah, no, I can't. I don't know. I don't think he's going to win any of the next three races. I'm not even sure he's going to get a podium in the next three races. And maybe he will at Portimao when all the pressure's off and he can no longer win the title.
Probably. We'll probably see him come out and just blitz everything once the pressure's off. You know, just to piss his mechanics off a bit more.
Yeah,
and
his team boss,
I'd just be like, look, I can do this when you're not piling the pressure on me.
Yeah, quite.
Back off.
Although I'm sure he is capable of winning any of the next few races, I don't think he will. But he needs to if he wants to be fighting for this championship.
Yeah.
The other Yamaha of Morbidelli, though, I could see Morbidelli just chilling his way into this. Just like cruising around in fourth, waiting for the guys in the front to crack under the pressure. And he's just going to score the big points.
Yeah.
I'm just going to reel him in. And while I don't think he's actually going to win the title, I think that I wouldn't be surprised if he finishes as top Yamaha.
Yeah, I could quite happily see that. I completely agree. He will be circulating somewhere, like you say, fourth, third, fifth, quite happily writing a song in his head as he's going around.
Yeah.
You know, and then just realise he's in for a shout and just like buggering off.
Yeah, exactly. I think he's certainly, like I've said, I think I said it last week, if Quartararo doesn't win the title this year, I do think Morbidelli will be Yamaha's next champion.
Yes, yeah, I completely agree with that. He just, everything he does at the minute looks easy. Mm. And he makes riding that bike look just like a piece of cake. Whereas the others are starting to make it look very, very hard. And we're seeing what he could do. We know he could come out and just be the coolest character on the track and just go about his business and bring it home in first. If there was an underdog, an outside bet, for me, it would be Morbidelli. I just can't see it happening this year for the number of points he is behind.
Yeah, I can't really see him doing it. And I think Morbidelli, the kind of the tactics he needs to take into the next couple of races is kind of just do what he's been doing at Valencia and just tickle along, get the best result he can get, but don't worry about the title too much and just see where he's at by the time we get to Portimao. By the time we get to Portugal, if he's within 10 points, fuck, happy days. Let's go for it. If not, then, well, we'll try and help Quartararo win it.
Yes, if it was me, I might be putting the pressure on myself a little bit earlier so it's not all one big hit at Portimao. Try and think about it a bit more over the first two rounds. But at the same time, for his style, I think, like you say, just don't think about it.
Mm.
Take the pressure off. With how cool and collected he is, I just don't want him to get to Portimao and be suddenly like, ah, shit, now I've actually got to do this. And suddenly have the weight of the world on his shoulders.
I also think even with the weight of the world on his shoulders, he's so cool that he wouldn't even notice.
Yeah, I swear to God, he has an ice bath like every morning to just chill out that much. I'd like to see him under a lot of pressure to see what he could do. Mm. And if that pressure is there, and, you know, Lynn Jarvis comes out and says, yeah, we've had a chat and we've told him, you know, he's got to go for this, he's got to do this. And he comes out and he's still as cool and calm as what he is. And he just raises his stature from legend to God.
Well, I mean, we've seen him under that pressure. He is a Moto2 world champion.
Like, he has been
under that pressure before. He's taken, like, he went head-to-head with Zarco in Zarco's second championship year. In fact, I remember the really good race. What was Zarco? The year before Zarco came into MotoGP. Ooh, 2016?
Yeah, I was going to say 16 or 15.
Yeah, so it would have been Valencia 2016, I guess.
Mm.
Between Morbidelli and Zarco in Moto2 was an incredible race. It was so good. So good. So he can go well round Valencia. I think he's proved this to us in the past. He can handle the pressure.
Mm.
He didn't finish the race last year, which is the only downside I have. He did. I don't know what the DNF was. I can't remember, but it was a DNF last year.
I think he just crashed out, didn't he? I can't really remember, to be honest with you. That just seems like such a long time ago now.
Yeah, it does. It does. But it really wasn't that many races ago, which is the weird thing. It was like 11 rounds ago.
11 rounds over a year now.
Over a year, yeah.
Ago, which is insane. It's just so much crap has happened in between. It's blurred the mind.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone else is like, haven't got a clue.
Yeah,
quite. Mind is fried.
So that brings us down to Dovi, like we said, in fifth place in the championship at the moment, 109 points.
Mathematically, yes, but I'm very over Dovi at the minute. And the whole...
It's a shame, isn't it? Because I was still very pro-Dovi at the start of this year. And now we got to here, I'm like, right, I don't know why we're still talking about him, because he's not going to do it. And I don't think it's his fault. Not entirely his fault. It's a combination of him and Ducati and their relationship. Mm. But yeah, it's just a bit sad, isn't it?
It is. It's a combination of a lot of factors, which have all surmounted to one big, horrible mess. When he didn't sign that contract, I really wanted him to come out and just absolutely blaze everything. Just really to show, you know, Ducati the two-finger salute. And I thought that's what might happen. Might have happened. But just don't know what the hell's going on with him. I'm very disappointed. He's becoming my Aprilia. I really like him. And I really want to see him on the grid still, but it's just not going to happen.
No, and he's not going to be world champion this year, I don't think. Unless, as I've said, we get a shed load of rain at the two Valencia rounds, because that's going to change everything. If we get rain at Valencia, Dovi won in Valencia 2018 when he pushed it down with rain. We've seen the Yamahas can't do rain.
No.
We've seen Mir can't do rain very well. The only one in the top six, apart from Dovi, I think, that can do the rain will be Rins. And the last very wet race in Le Mans, he crashed out from the lead.
Exactly.
So if it rains, there's a realistic chance that Dovi could win one, maybe two Valencia races, take the 50 points, and the others could not score.
Yeah, it's all got to rely on for him. And like you say, as long as the weather gods are on his side, he's in with a shout. It is just a very, very long shot.
Yeah, without the rain, he can't do it. I think if it rains, he's got a chance. Without, I don't think he can.
No, so all eyes will be on the sky.
Certainly, yeah.
Especially in the big red garage. Looking up.
Yeah, or they'll all be looking up, crossing their fingers that it doesn't rain, because they don't want the champion to be leading their team this year.
Yeah, how gutted would you be if you're them? Like, look, I've got a title. I'm taking it with me. See ya.
Yeah, exactly. And taking it with him to where? Like, at this point, we don't even know if he's going to end up in a test rider role now.
Oh, God, it's just so up in the air, isn't it?
It's weird.
He's got three rounds to announce something.
Yeah.
Or
three rounds to sign something, even. Like,
yeah, we don't even know something.
If he knows what he's doing yet.
I've got to know. Might have to Google later. Is there any truck driver's jobs going in the MotoGP paddock? It's late. It's really late in any season to not have a contract signed.
Yeah.
We know he's stuck to his guns over money, but sometimes you just got to swallow a bit of pride, mate, and just take what comes your way.
Yeah.
Not that he needs the money, but if he wants to continue, put pen to paper.
Well, that's it. But maybe he doesn't want to continue. Maybe he's done. I think... He's, 36? Like, maybe he's just over it now. He's been riding MotoGP bikes for 15 years or something. Well, at least he's been riding professional motorcycles for probably the last 20 years.
Exactly. If he's thinking that's it, time's up, done, just, yeah, take your boots and finish your season. Try and finish as strong as possible, if that is possible, and just bow out gracefully.
Mm.
I don't really want to see him finishing 18th at Portimao and just cruising across the line.
Well, that's it. I don't want to see his career finish like Danny Pedrosa's did.
No, but unfortunately, I can see it heading that way.
Yeah, well, as long as he finishes this year, it won't go that way, because at least he would have won a race in his final year.
Well, this is true, yeah. Let's just hope for good things, and rain.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like we say, if it rains, happy days. That's what I want to see.
Yes, a bit of rain. Maybe have one wet race or mixed condition race. And
I imagine we'll get at least one across the three.
I can't see it.
Because it's November, isn't it? It's November in Europe. Like,
it's going to get cold.
Yeah.
I don't know what the average temperature is going to be at Portimao for this time of year.
I imagine Portimao will be warmer than Valencia.
Probably. Although, depending on what the weather does, you know.
Imagine if we get two or three guys fighting for the championship at Portimao, and it's a flag-to-flag race, and there's a bike change in the middle of the race somewhere.
Oh,
that's going to be bonkers, man.
That would be nuts. Ooh. Pray for rain. Pray for rain.
Yeah, quite. Pray for rain halfway through the race at Portimao. That's what we want.
That would be insane.
The other guy that we've mentioned that we think is in with a shot on 105 points, so 32 points back, is Alex Rins. Alex Rins, actually, outside of Mir and Quartararo, is probably my favourite.
Yeah.
But 32 points is a lot to claw back when there's only 75 left on the table.
Yeah. I mean, he's had three non-scores this year.
And I bet he's ruined them, man, because they've all been from, like, podium positions or from the front.
I mean, well, he had two non-starts for that injury.
Did he lose two starts for that injury?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay, he had one crash at Le Mans. He crashed. There's another crash I can remember as well.
Yeah, you're right. But anyway, let's just say whatever happens, and he was to finish fifth in all those races. That's a lot of points.
There's a lot of points. He's ruined that injury, I'm sure.
That has really screwed up. Yeah, because since he's come back, like his first race back, he scored a fourth.
Yeah, he scored a fourth back from the injury, but then he kind of went off the boil a little, and then he had a couple of crashes. So it's taken him a long time to build back up to this form that we know he had.
Yeah.
Now he's got it again. He looks, to me, like if he'd been like this from the start, he'd have been the title favourite.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be Mir we were talking about.
I think I could see him, but I like being first or second in the championship.
I would not be surprised, if they go first, second in the championship. And again, I don't know, I wouldn't be surprised if Rins wins it. But again, it depends what happens in the next two rounds. If he can come out, where did he finish? Fifth in Valencia last year. We're relying on him to improve that form. But like we've said, the Suzukis are going to be good round Valencia. The Yamahas are going to be good round Valencia. Rins is riding with a lot of confidence at the moment.
Mm. It's all shaping up to be something wonderful.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I am finding it quite funny, though, that the Yamahas keep talking to or keep mentioning how the Suzuki is the best bike on the grid. And I've seen Morbidelli say this. I've seen Vinales say this and seen Quartararo say this. And they're like, well, you know, Suzuki's best bike on the grid at the moment. Yes, okay, we think Valencia will suit us. We think it's going to suit them better. It's going to be really hard to beat them. And it seems to be like the Yamaha riders might be the only people forgetting that Yamaha have won six races this year.
I think it's mind games.
I don't know what it is. Part of me feels like Vinales is already making fucking excuses.
I do think that could be part of it. Maybe there is a little bit of let's get this out there quick, just in case. But also, the way it sounds like there's so much talk about other bikes being thrown out there from Yamaha that it almost seems like they're bigging them up to give them that bit of confidence and maybe psychologically push them into a mistake.
Potentially, that's potentially true.
But at the same time, it does, from some of the riders, you're right, sound like there is a lot of, I might have to just kind of pave the way for a few of excuses here.
Yeah.
It's yes, the Suzuki does look like the most awesome bike on the track at the minute. Except that Honda in Alex Marquez's hands at the last couple of races.
Yeah, that's true. Because that hits... weirdly, the Honda has looked very good in the corners.
Oh, just a bit. And it's such a shame, you know, if the last two races had been the Valencia rounds, and we'd be looking at Alex Marquez going, why the hell could you not do this at the start of the year?
Yeah.
Because you would, we'd be talking about you in this top six.
Yeah.
You know, the way that looks at the minute is just on par with anything else that's out there.
Yeah, that's it. Because where is he in the championship at the moment?
Oh, my God.
He is. Oh, hang on. That's 2019 championship.
I don't actually think he is that far down.
I think he's on like 67 points off the top of my head. Yeah, he is. So he's currently 13th on 67 points. So he is still mathematically in with a shot. However, it's a really long shot. I do think, though, he is going to beat Brad Binder for Rookie of the Year.
Yes, I can see that happening. I think he's going to take it. If he can get some good results, he's going to take a few bigger scalps as well.
Yeah, I could see him by the end of the year being inside the top 10. He could be comfortably ahead of Petrucci. He could be ahead of Oliveira. He'd probably be around Miller and Espargaro, I would guess, by the end of the year.
Yeah, if he's mixing it up in the middle there, around, what, between 80 and 90 points, happy days.
Yes.
Happy days all day long.
Yeah, that's not bad at all. That's imagine what I can see him up there, just inside the top 10 by the end of the year.
Yeah, who is... doing something crazy with my computer. What have I done? Go away.
No, you're not breaking it, are you? Technology's not your friend.
It's not my friend at the minute. Nothing with a key or an engine or a heartbeat or a laptop is my friend at the minute. Everything keeps going wrong. That's a different story altogether. Tito. I was just seeing who's at the bottom of the pile. Tito Rabat.
Is it Tito? Yeah. Or Michele Pirro, I guess, is just behind him.
Yeah, but do we count Pirro? I suppose
he's got three score points,
yeah. Let's not look at the bottom end. That'll make me angry. Let's look at the top. That makes me happy.
That's it. So I decided to go through, because this year's been bonkers, and it has been. There's no other way to say it's a weird year. It's a very low scoring year on the points. Very low scoring. And Kelly, you only have to look at the points to realize this. By the end of last year, Marc Marquez, for example, had 420 points. And that's how he won the season. There were 19 rounds last year. But 19 rounds, there's going to be, 14 by the end of this year? So only five more rounds than this year. So that doesn't really account for the massive points difference. And I went through Marquez's results, which were ridiculous last year, just to see how many rounds it took him to score X amount of points.
Yep.
Seven rounds into the year, bearing in mind Marc Marquez had a DNF in one of these rounds, he'd scored more points than Johan Mir has in the last 11 rounds.
It's great, isn't it?
Yeah. By the time he was 11 rounds in, Marc Marquez had scored 230 points. No one can score that many points this year.
No. No one's wanted to win it this year. That is the trouble. Everyone's just looked at it and gone, no, I don't want that shit. Why would I want that?
It is weird.
It's just the form this year has just been in, you know, all over the place. There's been some Muppets online on social media that said, oh, the form is so inconsistent because they've got no markers there to push them. Shut up.
Yeah, I don't believe that at all. I think even if Marquez was there, everyone else's form would be this inconsistent and he'd have won the title already.
Yeah, we'd be looking at this. The season would be championship-wise over.
Yeah, without a doubt.
And we'd just be watching everyone else go about their business.
We'd just be seeing, and it would be weird because we'd be like, oh my God, there's been so many crazy podiums this year. It's been mental. Can you believe it? But Marc Marquez would still be first or second every fucking race.
Yeah, exactly. He'd be there. He'd just be like, no, you're not stealing my thunder. Watch this. Hold my beer.
However, when he comes back, if he comes back next year, I don't think it's going to be the same. I think he's really going to have to fight for it.
I think this injury is going to really hinder him.
Yeah.
I think he'll still be a title contender.
Without a doubt, and he's probably still the title favourite. Like, and he'll probably go and win the title. But he's not going to win the title by winning 12 races and scoring first and second in every race.
It's not going to be the comfortable, easy wins that he's had before. He's going to be pushed and made to fight for this. And that fight will not only just come from his rivals on track, but that injury is going to hinder him as well. Yeah, a year certainly. Off the bike, and we know this bike has now been adapted for other people, we can only assume he is going to hop back on it, and it's not going to be the same machine that he left.
No, it won't be, but I'm pretty convinced he's just going to hop back on it and be like, oh, I can still go pretty quick.
You put square wheels on it, mate. He'd still be blitzing it around the track.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's just not going to be as easy as what it has been in the past. We know he's working towards his fitness at the minute. We've seen plenty of social media posts about him working out.
Yeah,
that is still not going to take away from the impact that injury has on him and his riding ability.
Mm.
So once he comes back to me, I think he's just going to have he's going to have a couple of tentative sort of practice sessions, but that's not the Marquez style.
Marquez doesn't really do tentative.
No, I'm sure someone's going to follow him out the garage and go, just take it easy. And he's probably going to go, yeah, sure. Yeah, no worries. Inside the head, that little devil's going, fuck off.
Yeah, that said, maybe he'll learn his lesson, because the reason he's in this mess now is because he wasn't tentative.
No, I think this is probably going to humble him quite a bit.
Yeah.
And he's going to realise he's not invincible. Mm-hmm. And he is going to have to throttle off when he needs to. Which, in terms for us, for a spectacle, will lead to some serious scraps.
Yeah.
And some scraps that we've wanted to see over the last few seasons, but we haven't. Which is going to be absolutely incredible. This year's been nuts. Next year's is going to be bonkers.
Yep. Next year is going to be ridiculous. But I don't know. I can't get excited about next year yet. It's not like every other year has been, because I just can't get excited about it yet, because this year is just still so good.
No, normally we're at this point going, next year, Tim, next year.
Yeah, that's the thing. And I'm like, well, next year so-and-so's riding for so-and-so. Can't wait to see them fighting. But this year, I really don't care about that yet.
No, I haven't even given it a second thought yet. I go to work and I chat to some guys who like the GP there. And they're all like, next year. I'm like, fuck next year? We've got three rounds to go yet.
Yeah, exactly.
What are you talking about? We've got to finish this one up. Oh, yeah, but Marquez will be back. Like, that doesn't matter. That's next year. He's lost this title already for his own stupidity. Shut up.
Yeah. And it will be fun. Like we say, it will be fun to see him next year. It'll be fun to see him scrapping next year. But I also would... I just want to know what's going to happen this year first.
Yes. I'm sure, like, Friday's going to roll around. I'm going to find some excuse to hide in a cupboard at work and watch the practice. If anyone listens, I'll be somewhere quiet, don't worry.
That's it.
I know a few people from work do listen, so if you see me...
Yeah, you're like, don't dob me in, guys.
Yeah, just leave me alone. It's not far away now. I keep seeing the MotoGP website has got their little countdown on there, which is nice, but also I find it very frustrating because I don't like a countdown because I realise how far away things still are.
Yeah, that's fair. But, you know, it's only, what day is it today? It's Tuesday today. So it's only a couple of days, and then we got practice again, so that's fine.
Yeah, if you look at the MotoGP website, one day, 18 hours and 39 minutes.
There you go, you're on it. Right, let's skip on to just our last bit. I've got one other bit of other news after our little talk about who should be doing what this year. And this is the nice rumours about Jorge Lorenzo and where he could potentially end up next year. That's not on the grid.
No, again.
It looks like there's a chance that he could be leaving Yamaha once more and going to Aprilia to be their test rider.
Rumours at the minute, but normally rumours in the MotoGP paddock have sometimes a little bit of weight behind them.
Yeah, well, he did say, I was reading an interview with him, and he said that his number one choice is to stay with Yamaha, but if that's not a possibility, then there are other options, and yes, Aprilia is another option. So I don't know if he's just postulating and he's just been like, look, Yamaha, fucking sort your shit out. Come on, get me riding the current year bike. Get me testing. Get me some wild cards, or I'm just going to go to Aprilia.
Mm. The ball's all in his court, really. You know, he will have those options in front of him.
Yeah, well, we say the ball's all in his court, but it's not looked like Yamaha really want him this year. Because they signed him, they were very quick to sign him. They haven't put him on a current year bike. He's only been out for 2 days testing.
Tactical, very, very tactical decision, I would put down to. A very football-esque move where you steal a player so another team just basically doesn't have them.
Yeah, and then just leave him on the bench.
Yeah. See, that happens quite a bit, apparently, according to Sarah. Blame her for that comment.
I don't know enough about football, to be fair.
No, but we've seen it before in other sports where, you know, snap that person up so somebody else just can't have them.
Well, arguably, that's why Lorenzo ended up at Honda in 2019, wasn't it? It's just to stop anyone else having him.
We spoke about that in several of the podcasts. Remember us talking about it. If he goes there, absolutely cracking signing for Aprilia.
Oh, 100%, yeah. I mean, just look at what Danny Pedrosa's done for KTM.
Exactly, exactly. That, for Aprilia, would probably be a godsend.
Yeah.
If they can get him on board, hopefully he can get to grips with this bike and we might see something incredible happen.
God, can you imagine an Aprilia on the podium? Oh,
I was more thinking we might not have Aprilia first in our list of bad teams.
Yeah, let's not go mental and put him on the podium just yet.
But all jokes aside, that is exactly what Aprilia need.
Oh, it certainly is. I mean, as much as I'd love to see it, I think this is probably going to end up being a damp squib and he's just going to, you know, he'll sign again as a Yamaha test rider. Yeah. He'll do some wild cards and that'll be that. But the idea that it could happen, I think, is quite exciting.
I think the potential is probably there. We'll wait and see. But yeah, I did see something about this on social media. I was just like, ooh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I read it on a few places. I was looking at like The Race and on like Crash.net and a few other sites talking about it. So it is something that's gained some traction and people are certainly talking about it. So yeah, maybe it will. And it would be fun to see, certainly.
We will see. It looked good in those colours.
He would look good in those colours. I think the Aprilia is a stunning machine.
It is a very, very
good livery. I think the livery is very nice.
It always has been. I remember when they first came out and you and I were like, best looking bike on the grid.
Yeah, definitely.
All day long. Then KTM came out and we were like,
Yeah. Yes.
Changes things.
Yeah, the KTM is pretty bang on, let's be fair. Right. Oh, no. That's annoying. I was going to say, shall we go through Fantasy League?
Yeah.
But it's not working on Google Chrome again.
Well, again?
So hang on. I'll need to open Safari to make this work. So we're going to fill for time. So while we're doing that, actually, while I'm getting that all up and running and loading, Steve, I'm not going to ask you for a full-on championship prediction, but I am going to ask you to give me the podium for the next race. The first Valencia round. Who do you think are going to be first, second, and third?
Morbidelli, Rins, Mir.
In that order, Morbidelli first.
Yes.
Ooh, that's a brave call.
It is a brave call.
Morbidelli, Rins, Mir. See, I'm actually thinking it's going to be Quartararo, Mir, Rins.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I'm going with.
It's not a bad shout at all. I think both are feasible, but...
Yeah.
I like the way neither of us have gone for Vinales.
I know. I can't bring myself to.
No.
I'd like to, but I can't.
No, I can't see it happening at all. No. This is not going to happen. Can't say it.
Anyway, right, I've got it up and running now.
I'll have to load it on my phone because, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so we'll run through. We now have 12 entrants. It's not only the 11, so let's run through all 12. Although our Wuzo in 12th place down there actually has only just joined, so has got 0 points, so we won't worry too much about that.
But welcome.
But welcome. So let's go. For 11th place is Tuji in their classic spot there. Alex Rinzo Antinoda's in 10th. 47 riders hitting ninth place still. Mummy Racer in eighth. Seventh is me again.
I
think I've been in that seventh spot for most of the season, I think. Mm. And in fact, at the bottom here, there's not really much movement. Sixth place is Caballero Cruzado. Pretty much been in sixth the whole time. Rapid Racing there in fifth. And this is kind of where it has started jiggling around and moving a bit more. Fourth place is Mission Now Win, who was leading for quite a long time, but still got one boost left. So,
yes,
you know, that could be used well in the next few rounds, because they are 33 points off the lead at the moment, so close. Third place, Big Owl Racing with 959 points. Steve, you are in second with 983 points, and sitting at the top is Sassy Shassy Lassie on 988.5 points. So it's still super close. Top three are separated by less than 30 points. Five are separated by 41 points. So it's tight up there.
It is tight. And fifth and fourth still have a boost left, and so does the Sassy Lassie in first.
Yeah, so exactly.
I've used all mine, and so has Big Al.
Yep.
So I can't. Yeah, I don't know. My money is on either Sassy Lassie or Mission Now Win, I think.
Yeah, that's probably a fair bet. I mean, I'm just going to stick with Sassy Shassy Lassie, who's sitting at the top, and say I think that that's going to be our winner. But we will wait and see.
Yes. I'm still impressed with my 118 points in the last round.
I mean, that's a pretty solid score, Steve. I'll give you that.
That was quite good for that. If I can grab another one of those this weekend, it'll be all interesting.
That's it. So, guys, get your team set up, ready to go, and we will talk about it next week. Let's wind it up, Steve, because I've got the US election to sit down and spend my night getting pissed watching. Cannot wait. It's going to be great.
Tim's very excited about another country's election.
I'm so excited, mate. I'm so excited. It's going to be great.
Every now and again, I look at this little Skype box, and there's Tim with a glass of whiskey.
It's not actually whiskey. It's also now empty. It wasn't whiskey. It looked like whiskey, but it's actually some like toffee-flavoured liqueur. It's easier to drink than whiskey.
Really? Oh, no, mate. Whiskey all day long.
I'm not a fan. I like the idea of whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the reality of whiskey.
Oh, no. The reality of whiskey is much better.
Nah, it doesn't agree with me. I just get very drunk very quickly and then fall asleep. So that's not going to get me through till 6 o'clock to watch the BBC broadcast for the US elections come in.
No, you're going to need to pace yourself, mate.
Exactly. So let's go for it. If anyone has got anything they want to ask us, if you want to talk to us in any way, you can find us at...
We are For the Love of MotoGP. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook. Or drop us an email at thelovermotogp@gmail.com.
Nailed it again.
Got it, mate. It's in there. Those pauses, those little thought breaks are getting shorter as well.
You got it properly nailed now, man. Right, guys, thank you all very much for listening. It's been a bit of a weird show. We didn't really have an order of things to do, and we've just chatted shit a lot today. So thanks for sticking with us, and we will speak to you after the first round of Valencia. Goodbye.
Take care, guys.
Music is by Andrew Greenwood. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.